Welcome to the Unfiltered Path podcast, where we explore life's journey without the constraints of filters. In a world saturated with highlight reels, we dive deep into the true essence of individual experiences, offering listeners an uncensored glimpse into the triumphs, struggles, and transformative moments that define us. Our mission is to provide hope, inspire resilience, and remind you that every path, no matter how windy or rocky, can lead to growth and enlightenment. Join us as we navigate the uncharted territories of truth and to be moved, be inspired, and discover that you're not alone on this unfiltered journey of life. My name is Graham Duval, owner of Value Productions. I am a video strategist, and I am joined here by my wonderful co-host.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I am Trinity Baker. I am a mindset hacker. I take people from surviving to thriving. And I am joined here with my other beautiful co-host.
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm the owner of Aerial Jade. I am an aerialist. That is fancy for performing suspended in the air. Essentially, I am the bird of the circus. And we have a wonderful visitor with us here today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Robert. I do everything around digital marketing, specifically using videos to help high-ticket coaches, course creators turn strangers into clients.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're in the right rooms. Yeah, and I are coaches in sorts, technically.
Most definitely.
I feel like what he just said is something I received in my email from you today.
Yeah. Most definitely. I'm super excited to have you here, Robert, because first off, like you mentioned, you help with the online marketing space, and Robert and his team have been instrumental in guiding me along my journey through the online space and growing my business and developing the skills as a video professional. And so it's super exciting to have you here today. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm stoked to be here today with the three of you, and I'm excited to see where this conversation goes.
Yeah. I'm curious. So I know we were talking a little bit prior to the podcast, and just like the whole point of this podcast being like the fact that there is rocky paths and uncharted territories of truth, and like that everybody's life journey, it leads us to different places, and hopefully that this podcast can provide some hope. And I'm just curious to learn a little bit more about what you got going on, Robert, and to tell our listeners, how can you feel inspired today?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. How can you feel inspired today? You know, when you talk about you, the I, right? Like, let's say I, Robert, I really try to emphasize and focus on the I, not being the physical body, but the spirit. So I'm starting to become more aware, and I'm studying more philosophy, personal development books. I have learned that the real I is the spirit and not the body. So if we understand and understand this statement of, you know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong, you can wake up every single day just knowing that you are a strong being, that you are a light being. You're an energetic being. So every single day I feel empowered knowing that my spirit is strong and I have the Lord to go through, to go to every single day in the morning to seek for wisdom and be able to re-inspire myself and rebuild myself every single day so that I can serve others at the highest capacity. And that is kind of a little spiel there of what it has looked like for me. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I totally relate with that.
See, I was just going to post an inspirational meme, but that was way better.
No way. What kind of meme was it?
Oh, I don't know. I was just being sarcastic because that was so deep, you know, like in a charm. Okay? It was wonderful. I like that.
We have a prayer. In the way that you just explained that we are spirit. Our body is just here on earth, and we're just living through with our body, but we're really like our higher self doesn't need this, right? So the way you just explained it, you could feel it, like you got as you were speaking. And I think that is just a testament to exactly what you're saying, is that Like, we just have an experience here on Earth. And exactly what we talk about every single week here is that every experience is different. We all have challenges, but it's really how you grow through them. And when you come from that higher self, that spirit, and you work on yourself every single day, becoming even better every single day with the purpose of serving, that is our true purpose here on Earth, regardless of what serving is, right? Because we all have different
I feel like that's the like personality trait that we have as a collective, especially us three and, you know, the guests that we bring on, is we serve. And it's like within who we are as people. So when you just said that, it made me realize why we're friends. that's what we do.
most definitely. Like, and it looks different each day too. You know, like there is that sense to like build connection with humans and other beings, other light beings, just like you mentioned, how we're all friends. Like you find those connections through just the fact of being open to that. And those are the type of people that end up in your life and how you can help other people in that same path. Yeah, I totally relate with that.
No, exactly. That's how we manifested this day today, this conversation. You know, the three of you manifested this podcast, and now I'm here. Is, you know, we all vibrate at a certain frequency, and then we attract others into this ecosystem where we get to co-create together, right? We get to mirror to each other, you know, certain differences, whether you like them or not. You know, you do attract that into your life. So I try to be very consciously aware of like what I'm attracting into my life. And when I'm attracting something that I don't necessarily resonate with or understand yet, I'm like, okay, well, what is it? You know, God, source, universe, whatever, you know, people like to refer to. Yeah. I like to call it, you know, God, you know, universe, those are some of the terms I use. But I try to, you know, just really reflect that and then see within myself where maybe there's some discord happening. And I'm like, okay, well, I think it's in this area. And sometimes it doesn't come right away. You just kind of have to go through it for you to be able to see it, right? So it's just an experience. And what I like to share with many people is just the human experience is just you experiencing the widest and widest variety of emotions in a short period of time. We're just here for a short period of time. So it's okay sometimes to be sad. It's okay sometimes to not feel so great or perform, you know, 100%. And you got to give yourself grace sometimes during those moments.
Yeah.
Try to use terms like avatar, because like I talk about body a lot. So I've gotten to the point where like I refer to people as humans. This is my avatar. My children do it too. Like the speech lady was like, they don't really get their pronouns. I was like, well, in this world, I'm doing them a favor. So we refer to people as humans. This is our avatar. We're having an experience. And like I just in the smallest like verbiage, I have adjusted my life to like honor that, because I feel like it's in the verbiage that it gets skipped over. And then all of a sudden you're feeling like, you know, you start looking on the outside of yourself based off of just like culture terminology. So I've gotten real strict with like, I'm weird in conversations sometimes because I'm like, oh, your avatar is X, Y, Z. And
that's such a good point. And it just brings up, you know, like the whole idea of they call it, you know, spelling, because you're spelling out. The verbiage is the thing that is putting out into that world. And so by making small adjustments like that in your words can make a world of difference. I know one of the big ones for myself was I work on it daily is being mindful of using the word try, because there really is, like, if I'm saying I'm trying to do something, it's very like, there's no, the universe has trouble determining where that energy needs to be going. So it's like being very distinct in those words is so key.
There's a whole different level of commitment with the word try. Like there's no commitment when you say try. You either do or you don't. And I think the reason that a lot of people go to the word try so much is because we fear the failure. Where really the only failure is when you don't just do it and go for it, right? So instead of saying try, I love that, Graham, just say I'm going to do it to my best capability, to,
right,
with highest self. And then whatever comes from that, you celebrate. And you
exactly.
You use grace and say, like, I put my all into this and committed, because how good does it feel to say, I tried?
For real.
Like, what are some word swaps that you use?
I definitely do the avatar thing. Other word swaps. Okay, so my kids play video games. I do not. I don't even watch TV, so I just don't. I'm not even on that space. But they can. And they were like, you're killing me and saying all this stuff one day, and I'm just cooking and I'm in my zen place. And I'm like, oh, no, don't ruin my vibe with y'all's talk. So they use terms like blueberrying, strawberrying. So I've made them reword the action verbs of their games that they play and speak to each other. So in my house, it's hilarious. There's this random fruit conversation. So that's like a small thing I do to make sure that, you know, it's just different. But yeah.
That's a good one. I dig that.
Yeah, you're strawberrying me. Robert!
Oh, that's...
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, to piggyback off the whole try thing, I mean, the conclusion that I've came to as far as like the word try is just, you're just implicating that there's a possibility that you can fail. So therefore you just do it or you don't, right? And I learned that recently. I was just like, oh, because I was like, I am trying, God, you know, and a lot of people, you'll sit there and pray to God. It's like, please give me strength, please. And then you're implying that you need more struggle to be stronger. So you got to be very careful what it is that you're praying for. And now I just thank him. I'm like, God, just thank you for all the strength you've given me. You know, I don't even try to complain anymore or, you know, talk much about the negatives. But I think a word swap for me would probably be, I think it will circle back to, I'll try to, like, I will, you know, just like, I will. Like, there's a lot of power in willingness.
Yes.
I feel like even as an athlete, a lot comes from the will, where it's like, after a while, it's not even muscle. It has nothing to do with that after a while. It has everything to do with the person and the amount of just like energy, spirit, that something they give into it of themselves, that they give to the exercise or the performance or whatever I'm putting on their avatar. And it's usually will after a while. It really is nothing to do with arm strength or something that people would assume.
Most definitely. I can 100% relate to the willingness. I mean, for myself, like, coming from a place where, like, playing Russian roulette every single day and, like, you know, that whole space where for so long, it didn't matter, like, oh, it was very selfish and all this stuff. But, like, for some reason, it was that small bit of willingness to try something different, which was someone else, like, suggesting, like, hey, maybe you know, go to a meeting, or, like, maybe you go to rehab or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just that little bit of, like, willing to do something different that was the thing that, like, sparked everything else into high gears. Like, oh wow, there is a life beyond just like raging it all the time. You know what I mean? I think that was such a powerful thing.
The most brilliant artistic beings of light on this earth have gone through addiction. And this is where it stems from. The outside world does not appear as the heaven that's inside of us, and we cannot take it. So for years and years, or however somebody's journey is, we numb that. And we're trying to die because half of us doesn't feel safe here.
Right.
And then essentially the reality is like a part of you is playing Russian roulette with death. And then there's come this place where you just like actually want to live and just feel it all. And that's part of it. And then when you start attracting people that have that same heaven inside of them, it becomes easier and it takes time, but you have to cut out all those people that were like going after your soul a little or just trying to mirror like the darkness that's in them type of thing. But that's what I feel like. You know, like that's, I struggled with addiction for a while. We've discussed that many times on the podcast. And I think that's really what it was.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, not
seeing the outside world. It was like horrifying. It still is, especially for me as a feminine. Like, we're always scared.
Yeah, it's a whole,
I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's like bizarre.
Yeah, it is. And like, I come from a family that has been full of addictions, you name it, right? You're totally right. Like, looking on the outside, they all had that needing to numb what they were experiencing because it didn't feel good and what they wanted to experience. Robert, tell us a little bit about what you think about this.
Yeah, that's a great conversation. I was just talking to Graham this past Saturday. I had just hit 90 days without cannabis, alcohol, and full celibacy as well. So, you know, fully retaining my life force, just consciously choosing to direct this energy to create, co-create with the universe and others as well, consciously. And that's something that I've just, my soul has been longing for so long. And I was just, for so long, denying that and masking it with substances, right? To not have to face the pain, the trauma, the programming that was instilled upon me by my family, my past generations. And at some point, someone in down the road in the lineage has to do the work. Someone has to unpack all of that and say, no. Like, that's enough is enough. Like, this isn't the way life works anymore. This isn't the way that, you know, we can live without discord. And it took a lot for me to realize that after almost, you know, several times overdosing on cocaine. You know, I would abuse these substances, cocaine, ecstasy, just all of them at the same time, you know. And I did this at an early age, in my early 20s. So now I'm in my middle 20s right now, the mid 20s. So I'm glad I did get to experience that darkness early on, because it got to a point where I said to myself, and Graham, you might relate to this. All of you here might relate to this part, where you're either, I would rather die before I continue living this way. And it was just that point there where of like no return, like either like you go into the deep end and you know you're lost forever and ever, or you literally turn this puppy around and you ask for help, right? And that was the first time I actually started messaging people. It's like, hey, I need help. Like, I need you to hold me accountable. Like, please. Like, I genuinely just want to be a better person. Like, I genuinely want to heal. Like, I genuinely want to be consistent and embody this identity that I know I can be. You know, I know I am. And that is abundant. That is free. That is love. And for a long time, I deny that because that's just kind of what the world perceives as weak, right? Peace and love is just seems as the weak thing to do, and is actually the most beautiful, strongest thing you can do and embody.
That's society's programming. I mean, we kind of look at family and addiction, but there were programmed by society before us. Your age in particular, you know, that's where my struggles were at as well. So I commend you for making such like a mature decision of self-awareness. Like, that's awesome. But that age group in particular, your society hunts to make you guys monsters. Like, that is in every other rap song that's on the radio that my kids can hear, but the world pretends like that's okay. And then when you become that person, oh, they're a mess. You know, they came from XYZ, or, you know, it's just, it's real shame, because we're literally so obviously programmed to become those things. So to make it out at such a young age, you're doing really well. I recommend celibacy. I've not talked about this on the podcast, but you brought it up, so I guess I'll share. I'm at 7 years. So when I found myself as a single mother pregnant with my second child in a row, I took accountability. I was like, I can point the finger at this dude all I want, but I found myself with this dude all I wanted. So I took some self-accountability there and realized that it was probably like teenage year wounds, I suppose, being like repeated in a cycle. Mm-hmm. So I have practiced that. And while I don't recommend it, like if you're in a relationship or something, however, I do recommend it when you're not. Is, you know, how can you practice self-love when you're aimlessly, even if it's, oh, it's just the friend I've been effing for on and off for however many years. Well, okay, you have no boundaries, no emotional accountability or responsibility for that human. Like, and you're giving parts of yourselves to them. You're pouring into these other vessels, you know, casually. And that's how we're trained to be. I danced before. I don't actually carry shame about it because I'm a performer. I was like Britney Spears, but just with pasties on. But you're subjected to an environment and people, and then other women, like, I've seen some stuff, and we're all trained to be that way in the most popular way.
Right.
Like from Nicki Minaj to CW TV to
most of
program to be just like promiscuous, raunchy little shits doing drugs. And that's what's cool.
I totally really
so long to come out of that. Like, I thought it was 30s. So to say that you're in your mid-20s and you've already come to that awareness, like, you are so far ahead. Yeah. So far ahead.
Totally. Yeah, I totally relate with that. The whole idea of, like, those environments that are, like, programmed through society. Like, mine was through the music world, you know, being, you know, that whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of vibe. Like, oh, we're going to go, like, it's the cool thing to do of, like, expanding the minds and, like getting down and all this stuff, you know. And next thing you know, you're at that point, like you were saying, Robert, in the deep end, where it's like, holy crap, like, one more step and I'm like going down into the water, like deep, no coming back. And yeah, being able to come out of that is like such a powerful thing. And like, now because of that, it was like, oh, it's the cool thing to do to rage and party. And like, now it's like, the cool thing to do is like accept the love and the light and spread that and have that gratitude and just like be in this experience that we call life. It's just such an amazing thing.
It all goes down to recognizing patterns that don't serve you, right? Like, that's what I do with clients. Like, they don't even recognize their patterns. And so sometimes it takes that outside person to come in and say, these are the patterns that are keeping you where you don't want to be. How do we slowly 1 millimeter shift with accountability and support and guidance, make it so that they do support you? And so people think that you have to go, like, I'm sure some of our listeners here, just because of how society frames our minds, is that the first, when you think being sober, giving up drugs and alcohol, celibacy, whatever the conversation is, right? You might be thinking to yourself, oh, well, I got to stop having sex, I got to stop drinking, and I got to stop all the drugs tomorrow. It doesn't, I'm like,
no.
we have a lot of people are saying, like, I've done that and that doesn't work. And so what happens is we have to first recognize that that doesn't work. Like, I've had so many conversations with other coaches that say, we have to stop doing what doesn't work. And the 0 to 100 of swapping those things that our identities connect with, it doesn't work. And so when you slowly, like, let's say, you know, you do drugs, you have a lot of sex, and you drink a lot of alcohol, like, what is one little shift that you can start today that is going to put you on track for where you ultimately want to be, which, you know, everyone's different, right? And so I encourage you, if you're listening, don't think it has to be this 0 to 100. And I would love for the three of you who have overcome these things, talk a little bit about what did those 1 millimeter little shifts look like for you that made this successful?
Aerialism. That's why I'm an aerialist. That's why I do art walks for free, so I can teach 100 people and know that I did that, and that those 100 people have coping skills. Somehow, some way, it might trickle in their mind at some point. Like, I serve the world based off of something. So aerialism gave me self-worth. It's also very painful. So if you're a number, right, you have to fail over and over again. You know, Michael Jordan has failed the most out of all basketball players, but yet he's the best. So, you know, like, that's right. Something aerial arts has instilled in me. And then I think to fully quit drinking, I had to become a mom. The steps were, I was not all at once. And then to go celibate, I had to experience just absolute masculine filth and of the utmost. And so I was like, whoa, I don't even want anybody like around my avatar. This is mine. And so, yeah, so there were steps for sure. through that process. But to get off the hard drugs, the early 20s damage, like that was pretty rough. My family, my aunt, grandmother, and Mame died from cancer when I was like 17. So while everybody else was like going to cake parties and proms, I've never been to a prom, I was like taking care of them on chemo. So all of a sudden my peers didn't understand me. And then my mom got it. And to me, that was like, she survived. But to me, like, I struggled. She was like, you know, I just thought it was death, you know? But after she survived, I had already picked up the numbing addiction. But aerialism gave me self-worth. And that was able to kick the stuff that would truly kill me. So then it was just the matter of, like, you know, popping in and out of self-awareness. And that I dated tequila in my 20s. And it also helped me be more promiscuous and comfortable doing some of the things I was still participating in at that time. I've actually gone celibate 3 times in my life, but I would drink to be able to be painted head to toe. I knew I was technically walking around naked. And so while I still do that kind of stuff now in terms I paint other people, I don't personally, but I had to numb to do it. And I recognize that now. Parenthood took me out of the in and out. Right. And then I gave me responsibility and a certain accountability. And then I still smoke weed a little bit, but you're kind of like making me think about it. Like, okay, I might be able to, you know, kind of fall back a bit. I mean, take a next step.
We have a 1 millimeter shift that's about to happen. Is that Danielle didn't just say, like, Robert, you're making me want to completely quit it all, like, shift. Right? Like, just awareness. Sometimes it's just being aware, because like I said, a lot of times we don't even recognize the patterns that we have.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Robert, what are some of those like shifts that you've seen?
Yeah. Danielle, Trinity, Grant, I would love you guys just sharing your stories and your perspectives as well, because it just expands like just like all these different things. And I love how you brought it back to patterns and making those small shifts, because no, it wasn't just a 0 to 100. I'm going to just quit it. Like I've been trying to quit for years, you know, like 2 years now. And I would do 4 months, then, you know, get back on it, you know, and then 2 months. And then, you know, that was a pattern that I would see. And then I recognize that pattern. I'm like, okay, what's happening at that 3, 4, 5 month mark? Like, you know, and I started to reverse engineer the patterns. And what I finally realized was that I was like, dang it, well, I'm thinking about the same things. So therefore, if your thoughts create your reality and your thoughts create your identity, right? You are what you think, then you need to go and reconstruct what you're thinking about. So then that's when meditation came in. That's when those self-love practices come in, where you're basically rewiring your hardware, right? Your subconscious mind. You go deep into your subconscious mind and you see what's there. And then you place new seeds, right? You place new ideas, new concepts and things like that. And that's when I've honestly started to see the biggest switch was now was making those a conscious effort to just be able to go deeper into meditation and see just honestly what's there and sitting with it and being okay. And then just rewind the subconscious mind so I can think brighter thoughts, better thoughts. And overall, it is, I love that you said that it is reconstructing your identity. Like if your identity doesn't change, like you're not going to change. You can change everything that you think you want to change. But until that changes, I'm sorry, like you're going to go right back to what you were doing. And it does start with your thought. If you think about your thought is energy, right? So when you concentrate your thought, you're concentrating your energy. So you can lead yourself to heaven or you can lead yourself to hell, right? You know, heaven on earth, or you can like honestly be living in a living hell. And most people live in their heads. That's why they feel, right? Like they feel like they're living in hell internally. So their external world looks like hell too. And it's just like a direct reflection of themselves, of their inner world. And it does start with yourself. And the smallest shift you can do is just start with you. You can't control what your mom's doing, what your brother's doing, what your sister, what anyone is doing. You can only control how you react and what you're doing. And even that, you're still not in control. And guess what? Life's risky. You're not going to get out alive. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's an adventure. It's a journey. Like, stop taking it so serious, you know?
Most definitely. I think that's such a great point, because that's honestly kind of like what we're trying to do here on this podcast, is like you know, don't take it so seriously. There are those different turns and how we can focus those energies. And hopefully the people listening realize that, like, and, you know, it's not that you have to be on that complete spectrum where it's like, oh, my next step is I'm going down the deep end. You know, it's just a matter of like, maybe your spot right now is that uncomfortable feeling where like you feel that I can't keep going this way. Something's got to give, you know? And so it doesn't have to be that full like end of the spectrum. It's like you said, noticing where those things are and making those small shifts, focusing that energy. And that's when you start to reap the benefits of life and just like the amazingness of what life is through, like, I've seen, oh my gosh, the benefits. I can't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine what my life was 6.5 years ago. And still to this day, sometimes like I'll feel myself looking at myself on my life and be like, oh my gosh, like this is wild. You know, we're on this crazy ride right now. And it's just so amazing.
Do you know there's some humans that walk around without like the self-talk? Do you know that's a thing? And that there are, so the visualization of being able to see and meditation skills, essentially, right? We know that's where it's from. Being able to see the experience, or an athlete visualizing the game before it happens, that is skill. Because I do believe that's why percentages of possibilities besides the restraints of a matrix are so vastly different, is I believe it's in that one single skill. Sorry, you triggered me with that word. And I just had to like ride that. I have some questions here. So we're getting close to time. So Robert, we switch it up by these random questions. All right. So if you could have a front row seat for one game or at any professional sports venue in the country, where would it be?
Golden State Warriors.
What is that?
Basketball. It's basketball. Golden State Warriors have a player named Stephen Curry. He's the best three-point shooter in the world. He has broken all the records, and basketball was actually one of my favorite sports growing up. It's just unfortunately that I didn't grow to be 6'4". You know, I'm 5'9". So it's, you know, basketball is one of my passions, like, you know, and if I ever got the chance to, I will get the chance to, you know, watch him in person and sit there front row seat, maybe even get a little sweat. I would be the happiest kid in the world. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love how you put that too, the happiest kid in the world, because like, you know, that sometimes it takes going back to those kid roots where it's like that feeling of, like you said, sitting front row at a basketball game, getting that sweat on you because of that passion you've had so long. I love it.
I did wanted to share one thing before it's just escaped my mind and I forget. Like, the reason too why I'm so committed to being substance free and celibacy and all that stuff is not because I want to be perfect, right? There's no such thing as being perfect. And, you know, I still find other ways to self-sabotage sometimes with food, right? There's food, there's caffeine, there's so many substances and things, you know, that we can stimulate ourselves with. But my whole goal of these disciplines is, says in the Bible that, you know, the fastest or the best way to become holy is through discipline, right? So these are just self-discipline practices that I'm using to cultivate self-love and also to be able to manifest, you know, my dream reality with my family, my dream woman. You know, I already picture her, what she looks like, what she talks to, what we're going to be doing, all those things, right? And it's to create a sacred union, it's to create a family. And I have to go through this path that I'm going through right now in order to be able to attract that into my life. It isn't to say that, like, I'm going to just sit in my room in a cave and just, you know, focus on making money and, you know, all these things. Like, that's just a byproduct of what I'm creating here. So I wanted to just, for anyone listening out there, it's just like, yeah, like, there's a lot more than meets the eye. And I think that everyone has their intention behind what they're doing. And I just wanted to share mine if you know, that adds a perspective to anyone. Or
I think that's a good caveat, because it is like, we're not just saying to do this to just like you said, sit in a room just to focus on this. It's to have those better experiences and manifest those things. Like, to get, like, for myself, like, get those ideal clients, get the things that are manifesting that I'm picturing, the goals that I'm looking to reach and all that stuff. It's not just to because, you know, so I think that's a great caveat add on that, Robert. And I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
That you feel connected with your why, whatever that why is, the more you're going to be committed to the discipline. So you have to have that why. Like, Robert's why might not resonate with someone listening, but a different why might, you know, my why connect with someone listening, but Danielle's might or Graham's might. So I love that Robert is just recognizing and stressing the importance of asking yourself why, like 10 times in a row. And like that 10th answer is really your deepest commitment right there. Like, and then refocusing is when it's hard, refocus on your why. Refocus on why are you why are you doing this discipline? Why are you committed to changing the patterns that have been not serving you for so long, and our families? Like we talked about, you know, recognizing patterns. Well, ask yourself, like, what patterns have been here for generations? Do you want to change? We can change generations with pattern swapping, pattern shifting. I love that.
Yeah, so cool. Trinity, do you have any sort of game or something that you would go see? Back to the question at hand here, the real deep in question that we're diving into.
Steer away from the deep stuff. Like, we can't even do that. You know, I would really love to go to, like, Tony Robbins or Ed Milet, one of the really profound speakers, influencers in the personal development world. I would love to attend, like, first row. Tony Robbins comes to mind just because I've seen.
Brought him up a couple times in this podcast. Now I'm intrigued.
Truly. Virtually, like, his events are epic. Like, they are firewalking, board breaking. Like, I want to go, and I will go to one eventually. But to be, like, front row, that's a whole other level. So I would love, that would be mine. But I'm a personal development junkie. That's literally why.
Yeah, right?
We'll have to connect. We'll have to connect.
mine is my stadium. I'd like to go to my show.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I do halftime shows for ABA basketball show, and my son's coach is shorter than me, and he's great. So your height has nothing to do with it. You should just go try out for an ABA basketball team in Texas and let me know when you make it.
Heck yeah.
Challenge.
Yeah, that I
challenge.
You can't tell a 38-year-old athlete that there's, like, an end to your childhood dream. It doesn't. You may not be the best 3-point shooter in history, but you can participate in adult athleticism. So I can't let that comment just slide by. Not when I see it. Like, literally, I was at a basketball gym last night training adults to fly in the air while ABA basketball players coached my kids in similar age groups. We're all there living the same purpose. And we're all adults, and we're all still living that lifestyle. It's the lifestyle you miss. It's the basketball lifestyle that you miss. That's what it really is. Like, it's not really the sport particularly sometimes. It's the people it draws in. It's those sweaty long nights at the gym. It's waking up different because it's a different type of tired. It's that, it's all of those things that you miss. That's what you miss.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I played basketball the other week. I had a one-on-one session with this 19-year-old. He completely just, I was like, dude, I probably shouldn't be out here. But what came up for me was that what I loved about basketball was the competitiveness, the collaboration that you were able to create with your teammates, right? Strategizing, you know, improving. So all those things circle back to, like, one of my true passions is personal development, right? Being able to help people escape, you know, their own matrix, you know, break out of their own matrix, their internal matrix, so they can co-create something better. And I think that basketball for me for a long time was that, because it just helped me think outside of the box. Like, I was just like, okay, well, like, it's just, it helps you think.
And
I'm a thinker. I'm a natural. I love thinking, you know. And yeah, I would love to have every single one of you on my podcast as well, if that's possible. Maybe we can arrange that, like, you know, one by one. And I want to interview you guys. I think you're all very interesting. And I love a lot of the points that everyone touched on. And I would love to just go even deeper into some of those points and see what we can share with the world.
Love it. Awesome, Robert. Well, we appreciate you being here on this podcast. My name is Graham Duval, owner of Value Productions. My company helps provide video marketing strategies to businesses to help them become more successful. You can find me at valuedproductions.com or on all social medias at Valued Productions, V-A-L-U-D Productions, joined by my wonderful co-host here.
Hey guys, it's Trinity Baker, Mindset Coach. You can find me on all social medias. I love being that positive influence in the just mess that we typically see on social media. So go follow me at The Trinity Baker. And my website is thetrinitybaker.com. All things mindset, positivity, and stepping out of that survival mode and into thriving in the best life that we're meant to live. So I'm joined here with my co-host.
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm the owner of Ariel Jade. You can find me on arieljade.com. You can live chat with me, Ariel Jade, on anything else. Maybe Ariel Jade Art, because I do paint and participate in that lifestyle general. You can utilize me. I'm a personal trainer, a professional athlete, and an artist. And yeah, that's my vibe. And I'm here with our guest.
My name is Robert Espitia, and you can find me on Instagram at Robert_Espitia, E-S-P-I-T-I-A _, co-owner of Brandwood Video and Micro Content Mastery. And you guys should hit us up.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, make sure you follow the Unfiltered Path podcast. Subscribe where all places podcasting on social media as well. I want to thank you all for listening, and make sure you join us next week on the Unfiltered Path podcast.